Thank you for tuning in to Matitis, a podcast from one disciple of Jesus to another. May God choose to use this to further his kingdom.
Today we continue working through the book of 1 Peter, and we begin our reading picking up where we left off, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you appeal to the Father who judges impartially according to each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves in reverence during your time living as strangers. For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Again, Peter carries on the idea that we spoke of in our last podcast, where we ended with verse 16, for it is written, be ye holy as I am holy, that action point of the OODA loop that we had discussed. And Peter carries that forward and gives a reason, and he bases that off of our appeal. He says, if you appeal to the Father who judges impartially according to each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves in reverence. And he goes on. So again, he bases the reason for the way we act is rooted in the very character and nature of God. And he argues that we're obliged to live in such a manner because we appeal to God. And if we're going to appeal to the judge who judges righteously, we had better live in a manner that is consistent with the argument that we're presenting before the judge. There are some lyrics that I was introduced to. It's a song by the Worship Initiative from Shane and Shane. And there's a line in these lyrics. My righteousness I forfeit at my Savior's cross, where all sufficient merit did what I could not. And this is true. This is the gospel in a nutshell. At the cross of Christ, when we put faith in Jesus, when we believe that the work he did accomplished everything that we could not, we do forfeit anything that we think we may bring to the cross. That we leave all of it behind and we take fully his righteousness as our own. But that doesn't mean that our lives aren't to be marked by righteousness from that point on. There are people who may hear of grace and they misunderstand it. And Paul even addresses this in Romans. Let me turn there briefly. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 18, Paul says, so then as through one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the natural question that would be asked after Paul just said, basically, as the King James puts it, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Then the next question Paul poses is, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. And his reasoning is, how can we who died to sin still live in it? So here Peter begins to make the same point, but from a different perspective or from a different angle, is if you're going to appeal to the judge who judges righteously, if you're going to appeal, as he says, to the Father who judges impartially, then you are to conduct yourselves in reverence. That's fear of God, in revering who God is. You are to conduct yourself in reverence during your time living as strangers. And he follows that up, for you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life inherited from your fathers. Again, anyone who wants to say they're a follower of Jesus, but yet use grace as an excuse to not change their way of life, there's no repentance there. And Peter here argues, one, your way of life should match the character of the one who you're appealing to. Two, your way of life should change because you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Paul argues the same thing. How can we live in sin if we're dead to it? And the answer to that, that John gives us in the book of 1 John is, if you continue to live in sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. And Paul says, you can't, in Romans chapter 6. And here Peter says, you won't, because you've been redeemed from that empty way of living. The inheritance that you got from your father, that dead life, that empty, purposeless, meaningless life, you've been redeemed from that. And he says, you haven't been redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. So by implication, Peter argues, perishable things was not the price of your soul. It was imperishable. The very blood of Jesus, the very life of Jesus, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Redemption. Jesus accomplished this. John Murray said of redemption in his book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, it is to beggar the conception of redemption as an effective securement of release by price and power to construe it as anything less than the effectual accomplishment which secures the salvation of those who are its objects. Christ did not come to put men in a redeemable position, but to redeem to himself a people. And here Peter argues, it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that you were redeemed. Not that the blood of Christ made it possible for you to be redeemed, but that you were redeemed through the work of Jesus with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Here, Peter states that it is through Jesus that we believe in God. And Peter tells us in his second epistle, chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. So there in 2 Peter, we have the statement that God, through Christ, has given us everything that we need that is required for life and godliness is ours through Christ. That is everything, from the new heart that is needed in order to see Christ as beautiful, to the faith that we need to believe and come to him, to the grace to continue and persevere, the sanctification, the desire to live a godly life, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness is given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So Peter does state it is through Christ that you believe in God. So here in verses 17 to 21, Peter firmly roots the way we live our life in the character of God, and says that, one, we should live a life that is in reverence to the judge that we cry out to. That if we say that we make our appeal to the God of heaven, to the judge of all the earth, and yet we live our life in a way that's inconsistent with his character and his desires, we have no reverence, we have no respect for the one who we claim that we rely on. And secondly, we're showing or proving that our redemption that we claim to have experienced, that redemption we claim that he has done for us, we really haven't experienced. Because if we were redeemed from our old way of life, we wouldn't be walking in it. So this isn't to say that there are times where we fall. Scripture is very clear in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John also says that if we say we have no sin, that we lie and the truth is not in us. The difference is about trajectory. The difference is about pattern, the way of life, the walk of life. That's what's being addressed here. And that we cannot continue in sin. We can't continue in that empty way of life while at the same time having been redeemed from it. It's a contradiction. It's an impossibility. You are one or you are the other. You cannot be both. This is what Peter is stating here. Be ye holy as God is holy, knowing what God has accomplished for you. Knowing that, yes, as those song lyrics said, you leave all your righteousness at the cross. Knowing this, by God's grace, we strive to live holy lives because we know we've been redeemed by the holy God. God bless you.